All right, this is another episode of the Lane 8 BMX podcast. And boy, I'm telling y'all right now, I'm an excited man because I'm getting to interview somebody that I started following this year. And it's funny because how I really noticed him was the pink bike. And I was like, who is this dude who's man enough to roll out the gate on a pink bike and then kill it? Well, it's this dude from Australia by the name of Jesse Asmus. And he is, to me, probably one of the best under 23 riders in the world. This kid is a killer. And I'll put it to you this way. For 2023, he's world four, okay, for under 23. He's also 2023 Oceania. Oceania champ for under 23. So I want to say, without further ado, Jesse Asmus, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing really good. Really, really good. Really appreciate all those things you just said. It means a lot.
Dude, I'm excited, to be very honest with you. I've been talking about this all week. So, all right, let me start out like this. How do you think your season went for you?
For me, I think, honestly, it was like my first real year doing the international scene. I feel like it's like that bittersweet feeling. Like, I feel like I did really, really well. And I kind of achieved what I was wanting to achieve. But at the same time, there's a lot of areas that I felt like I could have done a lot better. As well, like, just as, for example, like at the world titles, like, fourth was awesome, but like the whole day I was winning races, you know, like putting myself in top three positions in that main. I was in positions to get on that podium. So like, yeah, it's kind of that bittersweet feeling. Like, I feel like I did really well and I'm stoked with everything and I'm like proud of what I did. But then again, like, I'm still like, you know, I'm still hungry for more because I definitely feel like I could have done more this year.
Not bad. You also won the, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you also won the overall national series
in Australia. Yeah, the Australian national series. Yeah, I did win that overall. Yeah.
Okay. To me, Australian, maybe people don't follow it, but I think it's some of the toughest BMX that you can find on the planet. It's a smaller country, but you guys have some really, really good riders. So to win that national series overall title for that series, that's tough. That's not easy. Did you start out well with the first race?
Yeah. So it was actually the weekend after the Oceania titles. That race that you just mentioned that I won was the first two rounds. So there was five rounds. So it was a pretty short one. There was two rounds in Perth, two rounds in Sydney, and then one round was at our national title in Shepparton. Yep. And yeah, it started out really well. So I went to Perth after just coming back off the win at the Oceanas. And then, yeah, pretty much I was riding decently throughout the whole day in those races in Perth. And then in the final, I was just hungry for it. You know, I just come off a win and I was just like I just mentioned to you before before we started the recording, but I always want to race the top guys. And I won that Oceania title in U23 and then once again went to the track. I went up to watch the elite guys and all I wanted to do was beat them. So in those races, there was the elite guys racing that class. So on the gate, I was just like hungry for it and just was, you know, came out well. In both days, I came out of the first turn in third, I believe. Yeah, third. And then, yeah, just managed to chase down two people around the track and I went back to back on both days. So I was able to, yeah, go from third to first. Both days of racing, which was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool.
Hell yeah. Come on. How is it based on? Is it your best results out of what, five races or how does it go?
So I thought it was best out of five after the last round, but then because I thought I was going to get second because I didn't ride too well in Shepparton. I think I got seventh in Shepparton after a crash in the final. So I thought I was going to get second overall, but then they were actually taking your best three placements. So because of those two wins in Perth that I just mentioned, it put me up. Yeah, I think I won by not too much. It was really close. The top three were really, really close, but those two wins in Perth just pushed me up enough to get the win overall.
How does it feel to get that overall win. Have you ever done that before?
No, I haven't. It feels good. Like, that overall is awesome. As much as, like, I would like to say it's a huge, huge thing in Australia, even though it is really big, like, that's a pretty cool thing for me. Like, I used to watch the national series and watch all the elite guys, and now I've just won that overall. It's pretty cool. But a few of the guys, I guess at this point in time in Australia, the national series doesn't really have very much prestige behind it. So I guess it's like, I think it's in a building stage where it's starting to get a bit more, you know, noticeable and a bit more like prestige behind it. But for at the moment, it's kind of like some people are a bit like, you know, I won't do this race. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather stay at home and train and then go do a race over in America. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather stay home and rest so I can be good for the next race. You know what I mean? So yeah. As much as it's really, really nice and I'm stoked I got it, it's like, yeah, it's not as prestigious as it used to be. So, but I am stoked, obviously. Like, I can't complain. Yeah. I'm happy to get the win there. And it was a goal of mine coming into the year.
Not bad. How did you do national championships?
So national championships, like I just mentioned with the U23 elite thing. So I was able to race the elite. I was able to race the national titles in the elite class. So I wasn't really too motivated to go back into U23 and go for another U23 title. I wanted to make that next step because I wasn't really interested in trying to go like win twice. So I really wanted to go into the nationals into elite and then just have my first real elite race there. So it wasn't the best. Like I feel like I showed glimpses of like speed and glimpses of potential. But I just like after a big year and not making any excuses, like it's not an excuse, but after a big year, it was just tough, like mentally to get into a right headspace and then go into that. I made it to the final, rode well. And then it was just, yeah, just a bit tough. I think I ended up getting seventh in the final. So it wasn't anything crazy, but it was still cool to be in the mix and, you know, like battling with the guys that I've been watching for forever, really. So,
yeah, I think you made a video of it on your YouTube channel. And
yes, yeah,
I watched that.
Yeah,
okay. I want to go back a little bit because you had a big win. You mentioned it, the Oceania channel.
Yes, yes.
Talk to me about that because I, you know, Australians, New Zealanders may know about that, but Americans may not, French may not. Explain what that is exactly so people understand.
Yeah, so the Oceania titles is just obviously the Oceania, everyone a part of the Oceania. It's basically like the Pan Americans or like, you know, the Europeans or something like that. It's our version of the Continental Champs. Yeah. So it's pretty much what it really is. It's only like, it's just New Zealand versus Australia, really. Like, that's pretty much what it is. It's basically that battle. But yeah, it was like, I think it was in April. Yeah, I think it was the beginning of April. But yeah, it was just, there was, it was over in Rotorua. So that was at the track that the next, the World Cups are going to be in February. It was at that track.
Yeah.
So it was good to get some track time on there. But yeah, it was just a race there. It was pretty big. Like, I guess you, from an outsider looking in, you kind of just look at it like, oh, sweet, it's another Continental Championship. Like, it's, you know, big race, cool, whatever. But like behind the scenes for all of us that were racing it, it's actually a huge, it was a massive criteria for our world selection. So that race was like a really big part of us being selected for the world titles. So everyone came into that race absolutely flying. Everyone wanted to get a good result because obviously they wanted to either win or get a top three, meet criteria, and then potentially get that selection for the world. So
were you racing your countryman? I think the guy's name is Oliver Moran.
Ollie wasn't at this one. I believe he was still in France when this one was going ahead. I think he had races in France to do and didn't come to this race because he had already met. So for him, because in Australia, we don't have many criteria races, races that we can meet criteria at. But for Ollie, fortunately enough, he was in Europe. So at the beginning of the year, I believe he met those criteria very early on with his European rounds that he rode well in. Yeah. So for him to come all the way to New Zealand from France wasn't really worth it for him because he had already met the criteria.
Yeah. Was Bierman there?
No, Rico wasn't there, no. Same. I think it's the same thing with him too. I think it's the same thing with him. It's like for him, it's not really worth it coming over here when he's got all these other races that he can do to get selection.
Yeah.
But for us in Australia and New Zealand, like that for us is like our, like without having to travel all the way to America or Europe, that's our one big race that we can really like get our criteria, like meet our criteria and get that selection.
Yeah. There's something you mentioned that I find interesting with you is that you've got a mixture of racing elite and then doing under 23. Yeah. So here's my question to you. Being 20 years old, you're growing into your, if you don't mind me saying, your man body, you know what I'm saying? Because you're racing guys that are much older than you when you go up to the elite. So I'm curious, is it a big step for you to go up? Is it a smooth transition or is it tough? Is it tougher, obviously?
Yeah, it's definitely tougher. Like the level from U23 to elite is massive. Like,
so there is a big
There is a gap. Yeah, the gap is big at World Cup, on the World Cup scene. I raced the pro. I went to America in February and raced two of the nationals there. And I was, you know, I was able to get into that pro scene and race all the top guys. And definitely the level is very high. But for me, like, I love that. Like, that's what I feel like that's when I ride my best, is when I'm in a position that I'm not really, like, not to say uncomfortable, but it's like a position where I've got to really fight, you know, like I'm not just going to get out of the gate and have a clear run. I'm going to have to fight for every position. Cause ever since I was young, like when I was, you know, like 8 years old, I was always getting mum and dad to nominate me for the class 2 years above me. I was always getting them to nominate me at like just open days and stuff, the classes above. And then all the people I would race with would always be like, or train with would always be like 2-3 years older than me. But I love that. So I feel like for me, that has helped me a lot now, because I just love getting in the mix. Like I love getting on the gate in like Florida, for example, and being on the gate next to, in a semi next to Nick Kimmen, you know what I mean? Like that to me is like something that I thrive off, and I just like, I really enjoy it. So as much as I could say it's a comfortable transition, I haven't actually made that full step yet. So it's not like, you know, it's not like I've gone to a World Cup and raced elite. So I can't really say where I sit in the elite class, but I'm pretty keen to get to that elite class when I feel like I'm ready.
Not bad. Great answer. Tell me this right now where you're at. Do you prefer the Supercross hill as opposed to the flatter hill?
Or, I mean, I love Supercross. Like, Supercross is sick, like the big hill, big jumps, just big wide open tracks. I'm a big fan of that. But then again, I don't know if I'm just a fan of that because of all of our biggest races are on that hill. Because I just love competition. Like wherever the biggest races are is my favorite race, whether it's a small big hill or a small hill. So I guess because all of our World Cups, our Worlds, our Olympics, everything are on a big hill, I just love the big hill. And I haven't really done too much racing on a small hill. As much as I would love to, it's just in Australia, we don't have too many small hills. Like, well, we have a few small hills, but we don't have too many races. And when we have those races, the level's not as high as it would be in America. Yeah. So I am hoping next year to get to a few of the nationals on small hills, and then I'll definitely be able to tell them. But I do love a small hill. I like the feeling of getting out of the gate and everyone's just got to start, like, you know, it's just like as soon as that gate drops, everyone's just grinding, like everyone's just eating, like there's no, you know what I mean? It's just all strength. Everyone's just like meatheads down that first straight. And it's just, I love that. Like, I do love that. As much as I'm not that strong and I struggle with that stuff, I still just love it. Like, I love getting out of the gate and just having to just stomp on the pedals and just hit the elbows and just like go for it, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm curious for you to tell me, as a young man, what's the racing scene like in Australia for people to know?
The racing scene is, it's good. I would say it's good. We don't have, at the moment, we don't have too many races that are going on. It's a bit hard because we used to have a really big series. The national series used to be really big and really prestigious. But over the last couple of years, that's kind of dwindled away and it's become less prestigious and people have put less emphasis on it. But like, I guess I could say, like, I've heard a few people say it, but like Australian like athletes, like BMX athletes, are so fast when they're in Australia. Like, I guess when they're in their own country and very comfortable on the tracks and very comfortable in the environment, where like they're very, very fast. But then I find, like, say a couple of riders will go over to a World Cup and they just won't get the results that, or they won't ride like they would in Australia. So when you go to like a national round in Australia with all these guys, it's like the racing is super, super hard. Like, these guys here are super fast, and there's so many people with a lot of talent. And when, like, everyone, because the country's so big, when everyone shows up to a race,
yeah,
like, it's like one of the hardest races. Like, I had, like, there's been races this year that are some of the hardest races I've done all year, and I've been racing internationally like the whole year.
Okay. Tell me this. Is there a lot of, like, in America, you can race weekly. You can race. I live in Florida. I could race probably 5-6 days a week if I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
And on some days I could even race, I'm pretty sure Saturdays I could race twice. So is that common in Australia, that there's local races during the, you know, smaller races during the week?
Yeah, there's, I guess it's what we call club nights.
Yep.
So they're just like a club run event, which is just like a local race night. In Australia, we don't have, like, in America, you have a lot of nationals. In Australia, we don't have many, we call them open days or our national series. We don't have many of those races. So it's quite hard. Like, you could go a couple of months without having a race on, like, or something like that. Or like, if you wanted to travel, you could fly around and get races.
Yeah.
But there's not really that many options. Like, the racing here is quite limited. You have to either travel quite a long way for it, or you kind of just got to, like, travel to another country, or just, like, hang around, train, and just wait for the next event to come up.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question. I'm glad you said that. So are you the type of rider, the type of person where you don't have a problem doing a lot of training? You don't necessarily have to race a lot, or do you prefer to race a lot?
I love racing. Like, racing for me is like the most exciting thing. Like, as much as I love training, like, training can be awesome, and I am, like, enjoying my training at the moment and just grinding. And, like, this has, like, been my first real, like, time off with no races coming up this year, so I'm enjoying that. But then, like, then again, like, the racing for me is just like, as much as I would love to race every weekend if I could, like, I'm just at the moment, me, like, doing all this international racing, I'm just trying to get my name out there and try and get some support, because I want to be able to do that USA series, because that, like, those guys racing all the time, like, that just looks so sick to me. Like, I'll be literally waking up whatever time it starts, I'll be waking up at 4 a.m. here, and I'm straight onto my phone, I'm just sitting there watching all the races, because that's what I want to do, you know, like, that's my goal, is to get on the USA series and just, like, you know, I want to, like, have a crack at the title. So seeing all these guys race all the time is, like, you know, seeing all those guys race all the time is, like, something I really want to do.
Oh, that is cool. I'm sorry, man. I just think that's pretty cool. But you've got some Australians. You got Jack Davis here, Josh McLean. I've interviewed both of those gentlemen. Very cool guys.
Yes, you have. Yeah, they're awesome.
What do you have here, man?
Isaac's there. Isaac Kennedy.
He's there. Isaac's there. Yep.
Quite a lot. Other than that,
I think that's
there's
it.
Some, yeah. Well, that's the people that are based in America. There's people that travel for it, but
yes,
those are the guys that are based.
Jumping Josh Jolly.
Josh Jolly. Yes. Yeah, he's there as well.
Well, that kid can ride, man.
Yeah, he's good on a bike. That's for sure. And he's getting a lot of power now as well. Like, his gates are catching up to his skill level. So, like, I raced him at that national title, and, like, man, he's fast. He is so fast.
Dude, that kid has skill that I have. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll tell you this. If you get a chance, check this dude out. He passed away, but the skill level when you watch these videos will blow your mind. His name is Mario Soto. Have you ever heard of him?
I've heard the name. Yeah, I've definitely heard of the name.
Go to YouTube today and look up Mario Soto, and there's a 6 series of videos of this dude racing. And when you talk about skill, bro, it's going to blow your mind.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to have a look. I'll definitely have to have a look.
Please do that. Okay. So you've done a lot of international racing this year. When did it start? Mm-hmm. And do you think that you fit in well with that type of racing?
We'll be right back.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I'll answer the when did it start. It started in February for me. Was my first international one, which was it was the Houston and Florida, both of those, the Oldsmar, Houston and Oldsmar, the nationals in America. So I started off with those ones, and then the international racing, like I've mentioned before, like I just love racing the best guys. And for me to race the best guys, I have to travel internationally and I have to go to other countries to race those best guys. So for me, like, I just love that international scene because that's where everyone shows up to. Like in America, like getting on the gate with Joris Dodet or Isaac Kennedy or someone like that, that's what I want to be doing. So I love it. As much as I've in February, I was probably a bit off the pace, to where I would have liked to have been. But I just love that. Like, I love racing the top guys and just, you know, having a go at it.
Not bad. Okay. When I think of Australian tracks, I think of technical, mm-hmm. deep, and big. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you come to America, depending on what track you go to, what do you think of American tracks? Because I've heard some folks say, it's not so technical. It's more power stuff. So what do you think?
Yeah.
Let's start with Houston. What did you think?
Oh, the Houston track was, it was interesting. Like it was an interesting track. Like the turns were really tough. The jumps were big and deep and that, but it was more like the shapes of all the jumps. I feel like that third straight was quite difficult because nothing felt like it really flowed too well. Like the rollers felt all like weird. Like didn't really feel like there was much flow. So I feel like in Australia, a lot of our tracks are really like you mentioned, a lot of them can be quite technical and can be quite deep. There's obviously tracks out there that aren't, but most of them are pretty technical. So going to a lot of tracks, like I feel really comfortable on them. But in Houston, it was a little, the track was just quite different. Like, it was a different track. A lot of the landings and the transitions just felt a little off, which made it kind of hard to gain as much speed as you would have felt like. I feel like, it was just a bit of a, I found that track a little weird. I can't say I enjoyed that track too much.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the racing, but I can't say I enjoyed the track too much.
How about Oldsmar?
Oldsmar was nice. That track was almost the opposite. Like the Houston third straight was really deep and like really weird. Like the lips were all over the shop and the transitions were all over the shop. But then the Oldsmar third straight was almost the opposite. Like that straight was really flat. Like the start of that straight, that like roller step up double was like super, super flat. And it felt like you really had to be aggressive to get any kind of backside on it. But I did enjoy that track. That track to race on was really fun. Like just the way it flowed was a lot nicer than Houston. Like the third straight flowed well. Last turn, if you got a good turn, it flowed really well with that last straight. Second pro straight, like it was a hard one to get right because that first step up, the roller was super tall into that straight.
Yeah.
And then that step up was quite hard to judge. Like you would push through it on one, case it, and then like you felt like then the next one, you'd kind of like feel like you went a little higher and then still come up short. And then you would like come around the next time and be like, all right, I'll give it a little bit more. This one, you'd give it a little bit more and then you'd go too long. It was like, it was a hard one to get used to. And with that straight, obviously it's that step up, that little double, and then that step up into the turn. If you mess that first one up, you lost a lot of speed throughout the straight. So it was like critical to stay nice and clean, which I really enjoyed. Like I really enjoyed that track. That track was really good.
Not bad. Okay. From watching you at World Cups to watching you on YouTube, and watching Australian racing. I watch a lot of racing. I really enjoy around the world. Correct me if I'm wrong. Me personally, looking at you as a rider, you're a bigger rider. You're not you don't seem like a very small guy. You're a big guy. To me, you are a skill guy with some power. I really like I like watching guys that have skill on the bike, because that's to me, that's the hardest thing that you can acquire as a BMX racer.
Yeah, I would definitely say I'm definitely a skill guy. A lot of the races I'm starting from behind or in mid pack and having to work my way through. As much as that sucks, because I would love to have that first straight or that hill time or whatever, like you mentioned, like I think it's almost, I'm happy that I have the skill so then I can work on the power. So at the moment, it's like, as I mentioned, I'm in a bit of an off season. So like right now I'm literally like in the gym on doing sprints, just really trying to build that engine for the 2024 season, because that's something I feel like I'm lacking. Like, as I mentioned, I believe in the earlier that like there was a few races where I felt like I did well, but I think I could have done better. And those things that I think I could have done better is 90% of them was lacking a first straight, because I would get caught up in the pack and then I would be in a good position, but then someone would, you know, hit me, or we'd, you know, I'd mess up a jump because I was in the middle of the pack, and then it would kind of, you know, go a little out of it from there, and then the race would kind of get stuffed up just because I messed that first straight up or to the bottom of the hill up or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious of this. Being a bigger rider, is it tougher for you? Because, you know, I always think that there's the smaller guys can get in those cracks and crevices that bigger guys can't, because you're having to move a big body around. But at the same time, I would think that being a bigger rider, it gives you leverage. You can ride possibly a bigger gear. What do you think?
Yeah. I've honestly never really thought about the whole size. Like, I feel like I think I'm 6 foot two, or I think around 6 foot two or something like that. I'm weighing about like 90 kilos. So I'm like, I have like a decent sized upper body, like, and yeah, I've never really thought about that. But to me, I think like my riding style kind of makes me really like tucked up, I guess. Like I'm not a rider to ride. I don't ride with my elbows out. Like I ride with my elbows quite tucked when I jump. I'm tucking my elbows. I'm tucking my body, the bike into me. So I guess like those small cracks that you're mentioning, I feel like I'm almost making myself small to fit into those cracks. When I ride, I don't ride big. Like, I run really, I like my bars narrow. Like I don't like my bars wide. Like when I run wide bars, I'm not a fan of that at all. I like my bars really narrow. If you watch any of my riding, you'll see when I jump, I'm tucking my elbows. I'm tucking my elbows, pulling the bike up to me. I'm almost like a ball in the air, just like trying to be as small as possible. So I feel like for me, the size isn't a problem, because obviously when I walk around, I'm like, I'm a bigger guy compared to a lot of the riders. Yeah. But then my riding style kind of makes me a little bit smaller, I guess. Some people tend to ride really big, their elbows out, wide bars, you know, like they wobble, they're jumping in the air and staying wide. But I feel like I can kind of tuck in and make myself small to fit into those cracks when needed.
Okay. Then you can answer this question for me. Are you a big gear masher, or do you like to spin?
I think I'd prefer a bigger gearing. I'm kind of in between both. Like I'm not someone who can push a big gearing if the gearing's too big. I feel like I lack the first straight, like to the bottom of the hill. Once I get past the first jump, obviously, like as anyone would, that bigger gearing feels awesome, because you come out of turns, you have a clean run, you just can absolutely like eat out of the turns and just like get that speed. But then again, like I'm not a very spinny guy either. Like I struggle. I feel like that's one of my things that I struggle with, is learning to spin and keep, like when I get to top speed, keeping that smooth pedal rotation is something that I do struggle with. So I guess I'm in between. Like I don't run a big gearing, I don't run an easy gearing. I'm kind of in the middle to where I, kind of in the middle is where I feel like I am.
Do you prefer a tight track or a big open track, like a World Cup track?
I'd say big open track, because as we've mentioned before, I'm not really the power guy. So like say Papendal, that track was awesome. Like that was probably my favorite track this year, because like no matter where I came in that out of that first turn, like I was confident I could either get to like top four or top three, even like in my semi on day one at Papendal. I came out of the first turn in dead last. Like there's a video, I got pushed up by someone in the turn, came out of the turn in eighth place. And then because of the way the track was and how comfortable I was on the track, I was able to down the second straight, I think I passed one or two people. Then down the third straight, I was able to get into fourth and still make the final. So for me, a big open track's nice because like I don't have that gate as much as I am working on it. So hopefully I can get it. Yeah, like that. I can really maneuver my way around. I can be patient. I can really like line up moves. I can set people up to, you know, to where I want them to be so I can make a move on them and all that kind of stuff.
Not bad. Okay. Since you mentioned Papendal, you got that World Cup. You got eight the first day. And yes. Then I think you finished in quarters.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
19th overall. On that one. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Did you go to Turkey?
No, I didn't. So I was planning on going to Turkey. I can't remember why I didn't exactly. It might have been a financial thing for me, but I remember just talking to my coach at the time and just being like, you know, what do you reckon's worth it? And I just think like things were lining up. I had people that were already going to Papendal that were like keen on me coming with them and traveling with them. So I had people to travel with, and Turkey, I think, was just going to be a little bit too kind of like, yeah, kind of a little bit too difficult, a little bit too expensive for what I could have done at the time. So I just decided to focus on Papendal.
Not bad. Okay. The next one was Sarianes. I always blow that name. Yep. So forgive me.
Yes.
And all you French people too. Day one, of course, was canceled because of wind.
Yes.
And second day you got 10th. So that would be you were in semis.
Yeah, I got fifth of the semi there. Yeah.
Okay, Argentina. How do you think you did for both weekends? I'm curious. I want to hear it from you.
That's one. I think that's another bittersweet like race, like both weekends or both of all four rounds were kind of bittersweet. I was feeling really good there, like in my motos and in practice and everything like that. I felt like I was one of the top guys, you know, like I felt like in practice, yes, in racing, like in motos, I think I had one of the fastest lap times. I think I had one like second or third fastest lap time out of the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Like, or out of the whole four rounds or something like that. So I felt really good, but I was just like, once again, that first straight, I was just not getting to positions I should be in. Like on that day one, I believe I had a bit of a mess up in the quarter. So I got lane seven, and then just, you know, got into a decent position, but then I just had another rider that was coming. We were coming third and fourth, and the other rider hit me from the back almost. And then that caused me to go off the top of the turn and him, because he crashed onto me. So that pushed me off the track. And then the next day, like similar thing happened. I felt like I was in a decent spot and then just had like, and it's not to say other people were like in the wrong, because I feel like I shouldn't be in that position to start with. Like I need to work on that gate. So I'm not in those positions to start with. But then it was pretty much just getting caught up in the pack. Like that first turn was getting really tight, and that's pretty much where it all happened. And then on another day, I think I was coming fifth. And I was down the third and last straight. I was finding I was catching a lot of people and passing a lot of people. So I was in fifth and I went to line up the guy in fourth, and I was going to do a higher low and try and come down the last straight and pass him. And then another rider from sixth tried to, like, he went super far to the inside, tried to get the guy in fourth, didn't get the guy in fourth, crashed in front of me. And then I ended up crashing as well. And then finally made the final on the last day. I was pretty happy with that. And then super frustrating was coming third. And then Tim Goossens, the Netherlands rider, was coming second, and he made a mistake down the third straight. And, you know, like luck of the draw at times, if I had have gone to the right of him down that straight, which I was tempted to do, I went to the left side because I know Matteo Colsonet was on in fourth. And I know he has really good track speed, so I really wanted to stay to that inside. And then he made a mistake, got a bit squirrely. He hit my front wheel, or I hit his back wheel with my front wheel. I nearly came off. Mateo went around the outside of both of us. And then I just missed out on a podium again, which was super, super frustrating.
Yeah, you got fourth. Do you like that track?
Yeah, it was tight. Like, going into it, I've watched a lot of the World Cups there from whatever the first year was, 2014 or 2015. Like, I've watched every single live stream I could watch on those. And it's always been tight. But as the level of riders, as the level kind of increases with everyone getting faster and faster, like stronger and everything, like the track is just like all the tracks can feel like they're getting tighter. And that was definitely one of them. Like, that second straight was really, really tight. Yeah. To a point, if you were like to mess that second jump up and not really push through it as much as you should have, you would just get sent all the way to that roller, lose a lot of momentum, and then kind of get a bit squirrely. That third straight, I thought that third straight was awesome because it wasn't like too small. It was just really, really tight and really, really deep. So that straight was scary. Like, the first couple of times going through it, my first actual run going through it, going really, really slow, just jumped onto the step up and then jumped across and lifted way too hard. And I went way long, nearly landed like on the face of the, on the lip of the, like the next roller. And like nearly ate it on my first run on that track. It was pretty like, unexpected. So, yeah, it was pretty unexpected. But that track was fun. Like, it was really technical. You had to be on it. Like, you couldn't get caught being lazy. Otherwise you would have a big off because it was just so tight.
So what you're saying is you have to respect that track.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
I like that. Have you done any Euro Cups?
No, not yet. That is something I would love to do as well. Some Euro Cups would be awesome. For the moment, though, I've just done a few World Cups and a few, just two of the Nationals, two of the USA Nationals. But Euro Cups would definitely be something I'd be wanting to do in the near future.
Not bad. Let me ask you this. When it comes to coaching, can you tell me who's your coach and what's his philosophy? His or her philosophy? Is it taskmaster, or is it someone that lays out a plan for you and says, hey, this is what I got for you. This is the way I think you should go about it. And my next question will be, are you coachable?
I would say, so I had, I was coaching with Anthony Dean throughout this whole year. So I was with him all the way up until the national titles in Shepparton.
Yeah.
But then I decided to make the switch, which I've been wanting to do for a while, but I didn't do it just due to races and stuff like that. I didn't want to change coaches mid-season. So I've just recently changed to Kurt Pickard, who I've been with him now for about 5 weeks. But yeah, his philosophy is like, he's very structured. Like, with other coaches that I've had, they've been like, you know, I send him a video of my gait technique and it's, you know, like, oh, it looks good, like this and that, trying to like, you know, it's kind of supposed to fit what you feel. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But with Kurt, it's like, you need to be in this position, this position, this position, which is like absolutely awesome. Like, I've always struggled with my gaits. So the first time I sent Kurt a video of my gait, he asked me like, oh, like, what do you focus on? I told him like, I focus on this and this. And he just straight up was like, well, that's wrong. And then gave me a big list of like, a big like paragraph of what I need to be focusing on, which for me, I've never had that. And like, and you're onto your next question, like, am I coachable? Like, I just love, like, I'm a very visual, like, I'll watch absolutely every race that I can. Like, as soon as I finish a final, like in U23, I'll be straight back to the track because I want to watch the elites race. So for me, like, I think I respect Kurt and what he's done with other riders and also what he's done in his BMX career. So I respect everything he says. And I feel like, I feel like I listen well. And like, I want to change things. Like, I don't want to get told I'm doing the right thing. Like, I want someone to tell me I'm doing the wrong thing because I want to be the best that I can be. And I don't want to be like struggling out of the gate, like, and then send a video to my coach and him be like, oh, it looks good, when I just raced and I just got seventh to the first turn. It's like, well, something's not right here. I need you to tell me what's wrong so we can work on it together. So yeah, I would like to say that I am coachable because I just want, you know, I want to be the best I can. And I know that there's other people that know more than me and I know that they can give me advice, you know.
That's a level head for a young man at 20 years old. I respect that. I'm dead serious. All BS aside.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So it's going into summertime in Australia.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty hot right now.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm getting a bit of a sweat on just sitting here, to be honest.
I see.
I need to turn the fan on or something.
Go ahead, man. If you don't sit there and sweat to death, dog.
No, I'm not too bad. Not too bad. Not too bad.
So it's summer, going into summertime in Australia. Mm-hmm. You know, most people would think, well, damn, there's racing. You should never, ever have an off season because you're racing all over the world and then you come back home. So it's kind of like you have to force yourself to take a break.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So in doing that, what are you working on right now? You in the gym and things like that?
Yeah. So at the moment I'm just, I'm in that strength phase. So I, after the nationals in Shepparton, I took a week off just training in general. I think it might have even been two. Just took a week or two off training and everything like that, just so I could give my body a rest. And then started with Kurt, and basically we just laid out a plan like to prepare for the World Cups in February. Yep. So like I just finished a block before this, and now I've just started my strength block. So for me now, it's just really working on building up that strength for the first straight. And just building up that power to be in a position to where I can, you know, be at the front of the pack or leading the pack into the first straight rather than having to fight my way into the lead, if that makes sense. And just another thing, just working on the technique, like Kurt's been awesome with me. He's just, you know, every gate I do, like he's got feedback for me, which has been awesome. Like my technique's been changing a lot lately and he's been helping out heaps. And like in whatever, 5 weeks or whatever, I'm already feeling much more confident out of the gate and feeling like I'm, you know, in a better position for my second pedal, third pedal to the bottom of the hill. Like I'm feeling a lot better already.
Not bad. Are you a big weight guy? I mean, in a sense of, do you like the squats and stuff like that? I love squat. I'm a big fan of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the gym. Like I'm a big gym guy. I can't say I love the gym, but I can't say I'm the biggest, like I push the most weight. Like I really, yeah. I mean, it's not compared to some people, like my weights would be like warm up weights. Like I see videos of like Ross Cullen doing a clean or something and he's cleaning more than what I can do a squat, like a max squat for or something like that. Like I think I can definitely lift some decent weight, but it's definitely not the greatest. It's definitely something I'm working on at the moment, is getting that strength up.
Not bad. Not bad. Okay. So what does your 2024, I mean, obviously you've sat down with your coach and okay, I'm mapping out what I'm going to do for next year. Yep. What does that, if you don't mind me asking, what does that look like for you?
So for me, I'm wanting to, this is like this point in time now is my first off season. I'm just really wanting to get a good block of training in. And then obviously the World Cups in Rotorua and Brisbane are a big goal of mine. I would love to come out to Rotorua, get a few good results there. And then obviously Brisbane, I live 40 minutes from that track. Like that's like my home race. Like for me, that's a big one. Like I would love to go to that race and win one there or win both of them there and really like, you know, put on a show for the Australian crowd, you know, like I'm super stoked for that one. And then after that, I'll be heading to Tulsa for the World Cup there. So I'll head to Tulsa and race that World Cup. And then my plan from there is, because obviously the Worlds are about, I believe, 4 weeks after Tulsa World Cup, 4 or 5 weeks after. So my plan from there is to stay in America after that. So I won't fly home. I'll stay in America because I got fourth in the world this year. That means it's an automatic qualification for the world titles for 2024. So I don't have to worry about meeting criteria. I don't have to worry about getting to certain races. So once I do that race in Tulsa, I'll just stay in America. I believe there's a race in Music City between, I think it's between Tulsa World Cup and the Worlds.
Nashville.
So I'll probably try and do, Nashville. I'll try to do the one in Nashville and then probably just either spend time in Florida on Oldsmar or spend time in Rock Hill or something like that and just prepare for the Worlds then. And then just pretty much, I just want to get like, I would love to come and do more races. I want to do Grands next year as well. That's a big one of mine. I would love to do Grands and then obviously finish the World Cup season in Papendal for the last two rounds there. So complete the whole season. I want to complete the whole World Cup season and then try and get as much American racing as possible. I want to try and get over there more and get some more of the nationals going.
Well, if you're going to race Nashville, prepare for a flat hill.
Yeah, okay. that's what I love that. Like that track looks sick. Like I've watched that race many times. Like the olden days, like watching Sam Willoughby just eat down that first straight is something that I've been watching that for years. So to like actually go to that track will be sick.
Dude,
that'd be sick.
Sam is amazing. It's still to me, he's amazing. I don't care what anybody said.
There's certain videos on YouTube that I still like to this day, like I've been doing it for years, but I'll just go to the TV and I'll put on this 20-minute long video or 10-minute long video of a tribute to Sam Willoughby or a Sam Willoughby edit. And I'll just be there and just like amazement of just like how strong, but also like how skillful he was in racing. Yes. And just like how, like that guy to me, like he's like my, he's crazy. Like that's, I would love to be anywhere near that. Like I would love to be that, you know, like he's just an inspiration for sure.
I would say for me, Sam is my goat.
Mm.
I would say that. I respect so much the leaving Australia, coming to America.
Yes.
Yep. Putting down roots and just going for it and don't care what nobody says.
Totally. And he's created that pathway for riders like myself, riders like Jack Davis, riders like Josh McLean or Isaac. Like he's created that, you know, like he's shown us that that's possible. So for me, like when I say like I want to get to America and I want to race that into like that USA series, that's like the big reason for that is because I've watched Sam do it. Like I watched him go over there and I watched him race it. And I watched him get to the top level and win three USA titles. And I watched him do all those things. And that's like, I want to do that as well. Like I want to do the same thing as what he got to do.
Respect. Tell me this. How did you get started in BMX? I mean, was it your first sport that you wanted to do or were you doing other things?
So I believe it was my first sport. So my brother, he started when he was 4 years old. So he's my older brother. I think he's 3 years older than me. He started when he was four. It was just pretty much, he just didn't get off a bit. He didn't get off a bike. Like he just loved a bike, loved riding his bike around the street, around the yard and stuff like that. And mum and dad, were driving around. They saw it come and try day at one of our local clubs. And then he got into it from there and fell in love with it. And then I think, not too long after I started when I was 3 years old, I started racing when I was three. And then my whole family, so I got two brothers and two sisters. So my oldest brother started when he was four. And then me and my other older brother started when he was four. I started when I was three. And then my two younger sisters also started racing a couple of years later as well. So there was the five of us doing it at one point.
Wow.
So it was like a clan of us, like, you know, we're all racing. So for me, like I started because I just wanted to be like my older brother. Like I just wanted to ride and beat my older brother or race my older brother and, you know, impress my older brother. So all I was trying to do was do what he did. And then I fell in love with it as well.
Did you get good quickly?
I believe I did because like, I don't, not to sound cocky, but like for me, like the having two older brothers in the sport, like that was someone for me to chase like 24/7, like no matter whatever they were doing, I wanted to be better than them. Like I was fortunate enough to have those two because they were the ones that were pushing me to get better. Cause obviously they were developing, like they were older, so they were bigger and they were stronger. And they were faster. So I was always just wanting to be faster than them. My older brother would do he would do a jump. The very next lap, I would see him do it. I'd be like, sweet, my turn. I would go do it. He would do a whole straight manual. I'd be like, all right, now I need to learn how to do whole straight manuals. He would do a triple. I'd be like, all right, now I need to learn how to do a triple. Like, so I feel like that helped me develop very fast. So throughout the whole, in Australia, we call it sprockets. So it's from anywhere from like 3, I believe, to 7 is the sprocket class. So it's not really like ranked or anything like that. You just race. So I always would race well in that. And then when you turn 8, you get into the actual competition. So you get to race for a national plate or a world plate or something like that. So when I turned 8 at my first national titles, I was able to win. So I got I won my first national title at 8 years old. And then I believe I won, I think I got first, and then the next year I got second. And then when I was 10 years old, I won the world titles in Auckland in 2013. So I feel like I progressed quite quickly from a young age. And that was because I had two older brothers who I was just wanting to be better than and wanting to copy and, you know, trying to jump what they jumped or manual what they manualed.
Yeah. So tell me this then, how many of the Asmus kids are still racing?
So my youngest sister, my two younger sisters both raced at the world titles in Glasgow.
Yeah.
My youngest sister raced the 16 girls. I think she got fifth in the semi, so she nearly made the final. And then my other sister was racing 70 to 24, I think the class is. Yeah, 70 to 24, and she crashed in the quarter. So she made the quarter. So they're both racing. I wouldn't say they're racing to the same level I am. And then my older brother he's not riding as much anymore. He's just, you know, he still keeps up with it, still really supportive and keeps up with the racing, but he's just not racing himself anymore. And then my oldest brother, the one that started the sport first, him and I are both at the same level of wanting to succeed in the sport. So we're at the moment, it's a bit unfortunate because he broke a bone in his wrist called the scaphoid.
Yeah.
And that bone can be very difficult to heal. So he's had a lot of complications with it. So he actually broke it in November of last year, and he's only just gone in for surgery about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So he's been off the bike and not racing for about 13 months. But so it's pretty much my two younger sisters are kind of in the sport. They're doing it. They're just having a bit of fun with it. My older brother's kind of out of the sport now, doesn't ride, but still keeps up. And then my oldest brother and I, he wants to race World Cups. He wants to win Worlds. He wants to do all the same things that I want to do. So he's pretty into it now.
Not bad. What motivates Jesse?
What motivates me is, I don't know. It sounds kind of corny, I guess, but I just want to be the best. Like, that's what motivates me. Like, I see, as we're talking about Sam Willoughby, I see Sam Willoughby and I want to be better than that. You know, like, he achieved so much, but like, you know, it annoys me. Like, as we're talking earlier, like about the U23 class, like, yeah, I love the U23 class, but at the same time, like, I want to be racing the elite guys. Cause I know when Sam Willoughby, I think he won his first World Cup when he was 18 or 19. I think he was still junior when he won his first World Cup.
Yeah.
So for me, like, him being able to do that, in my head, I'm like, well, why can't I do that? You know what I mean? So like, I just want to be the best, like, not for anyone, not for what anyone else sees, but just for myself. Like, I want to be the best because that's just a goal of mine. I'm always striving to be better than whoever's at the top. Like, obviously at the moment I'm not at the top, but I'm like working really hard to be in a position to where I can be one of the best riders in the world.
Yeah. I think you're on your way, to be very honest.
Tell me
this, you just, I know you're probably not going to tell me, but I got to ask, you just left your sponsor, Chris. You'd been with him for a little bit.
2 years. Yeah.
That's gotta be a tough decision to make. You've built relationships there. It's you, the way I read it was they were like a family to you. How tough was that to leave them? And if you want to go ahead and drop who you're going to ride for next year, you can.
that was a tough one. Like, that was a really hard decision because the guy who runs that team, his name's Cam Small. He actually, he used to run a team called Cyclecraft. I don't know if they were in America at all. Yeah, I believe that they were. Florida. He used to run the Australian team, the Australian Cyclecraft team. So he sponsored me when I was, I think I was 10 years old. So he sponsored me right before I won my world title as a 10-year-old. And then I was on his team for a while until I think about 13 or 14. I was with him on Cyclecraft. And he was awesome. Like, he was really good then. And then he made a switch to Crisp. Now he made that switch, but I didn't make that switch with him. I went to another team. But then further down the track, pretty much like through COVID, I lost a bit of motivation, was kind of not really knowing if I wanted to continue in the sport. And then I found a bit of motivation for the sport again. And then he saw that. He saw me kind of making that comeback, and then he wanted to support me. So he picked me up in a time where I literally had no results. Like, I didn't have anything. Like, I'd just come back. I hadn't raced in 6 months. I hadn't trained. I hadn't ridden a bike. And I just came back, and then he wanted to sponsor me and support me. And then he pretty much for the last 2 years, he's done absolutely everything like he can do to help me, which has been like, I couldn't be more grateful, you know. Like, he's been absolutely amazing. But I think, like, for me, making the switch has just been something where I think, like, I don't know, this year, I feel like coming into the new year, I feel like I've changed so many things. Like, I've changed a coach, I've changed like things in my personal life. Like, I've changed a lot of things. And I think for me, the sponsor's like also another thing, you know, like it's the start of like a new chapter, I guess. So coming into the 2024 season, like, everything's going to be fresh. It's going to be like different bike, different like gear, different stuff. And I'm just hoping that like next year can just be like a really, really good year.
Okay. So I'm going to ask, you don't have to answer. I respect that, because you maybe have been told not to say anything. But who are you going to ride for next year?
I'll be riding for, it's an Australian team called T-Squared. So okay. I'll be riding a radio bike with all box components. So yeah, I'm pretty keen for that. Like, it was a guy that I've been traveling with. His name's Tom Tucker.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know him. He was a very good amateur, and he's still very good in the sport, but he's on a team, and he runs a team called T-Squared, and he just asked me to join. And it's just, the environment's just really good. He's got a good few riders on there. It's going to be more of a team environment where we get to travel to races together and all that stuff, which I'm super keen for. Like, that is kind of something that I really want, is to have that team environment at races where we can all support each other and stuff like that. So yeah, I'll be riding a radio with box components, and then I'll be riding fly gear.
Okay. That's interesting, because the reason I thought, when I heard that you were leaving Crisp, I had my idea of who you would be riding for. I was thinking probably Speedco or Chase.
Yeah. I did have a few people saying Speedco or Chase. I had a lot of people, when I put a post up on my Instagram saying, who do you think I'd be riding for? I had a lot of people saying Speedco. So it's, you're definitely not the only one. It's like, that's something where I think that could definitely be something in the future. But for now, I think I'm still in the process of getting to a point where I can get a sponsor, an international sponsor. You know, like, I'm still very, very, I'm understanding of the fact that I've done a bit of international racing, but I haven't really proven too much yet, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I've still got more to prove. I've done one good year, and now I'm ready for next year to be 10 times better and really show like the world what I'm capable of, and then potentially pick up a sponsor where I can, you know, they can support me getting to those USA BMX races and getting on that USA circuit.
Yeah. Last couple of questions. I know you're a busy guy and you're sweating to death. tell me this. What was my question I was going to ask you? Gosh, dog it. Okay, yeah. What does Jesse like to do outside of the bike? Now, I've seen surfing.
Yes, love surfing.
Talk to me about that.
Surfing, yeah. Surfing is probably something that I enjoy the most outside of BMX. Yeah. Like, I believe, you need to be 100% invested into BMX, but you also need to have your times where there's nothing to do with BMX. Like, I have a mate or a couple of friends that I go, I'll message and be like, you came for a surf tomorrow, and we'll just go for a surf. And there's nothing brought up about BMX. We're just purely out there. You know, we're just talking about things we're doing, or we're talking about the wave we just caught, or we're talking about what we're getting for lunch after. And it's just like, it takes your mind and you're able to reset away from BMX. So for me, surfing is something like I just love. Like, I really enjoy getting out in the water, going to the beach, just like sitting out there talking to your mate, getting, you know, getting breakfast beforehand, grabbing a coffee, getting out in the water, you know, like the sun on your skin. Like, to me, that's something that I, when I'm feeling like quite run down from training or feeling mentally like overwhelmed at times, like I find it's like, if I can go get out for a surf, like I feel like that's like a reset for me, you know, like I'd say able to like reset my body, reset my mind and get me ready for a new block or a new week of training or something like that.
Not bad. What kind of music do you listen to? Are you all over the place?
I'm a bit all over the place. I listen to like rap. I listen to like Australian, like, I guess you call indie, like Australian music. There's a few people from Australia who released some pretty good music. Bit all over the shop, like, yeah, indie or hip hop or like, you know, like Suicide Boys or something along those lines. It all depends on how like my mood is. Like, I'm a big, like, my music just goes with my mood. Like, if I'm on a race day and I'm feeling pretty amped up and already pumped up, like, I'll tend to listen to a lot of music that you probably wouldn't expect. Like, I'll be sitting there listening to something really relaxed, like, yeah, something that you wouldn't probably expect. But then when I'm, you know, feeling quite down, I tend to listen to something to kind of bring the mood up and get me a bit more fired up for something. You know, I try and use the music and kind of try and like level me out, I guess, so I'm not too amped up or I'm not too like, you know, too mellow.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to throw some rapid fire questions at you here.
Yep.
World Cup title or World Championship jersey?
Oh, World Championship jersey for sure. Gotta be.
Okay.
Can't beat those rainbows. Definitely can't beat those rainbows.
Nah, bro. I would think not. Olympic medal or World Championship title?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. Are we talking bronze medal?
I'm talking a medal, period.
The Olympics, I would have to say the Olympics, like the medal. I would say they're very close though, like very, very close. But the Olympics is once every 4 years. That's been something that I've been wanting to do my whole life. Like, the Olympics is a big goal of mine. So I think definitely a medal at the Olympics.
Okay. I got a good one for you. This one's going to get you. All right. Australian national championship title, or USA BMX title?
I think it has to be a USA BMX title. As cool as it is to get that Australian like elite national jersey with the yellow sleeves that Bodie and Sarah are currently wearing, as cool as that is, like, the USA title is, to me, is just on another level. Like, that title is something that, like, it's not just a one-off race, it's a whole year thing. Like, and to get to the end of the race and then perform at the Grands, as we just saw Joris and Cam going at it, like, you've still got to perform at some, like, in a position like that. So I think that for me is definitely on another level to the national title.
Okay. My last question for Jesse Asmus of Australia is this. When 2024, at the end of 2024, what would constitute a good season for you?
That is a tough one, because I try not to be too result driven results are awesome. I think for me, like, I want a good year for me is, yeah, just like being competitive, like being at the races and being at the top of those races. Like, I want to be someone who's not, you know, I don't want to be someone who's making a final here, battling for a podium, and then the next race I'm getting out in the quarter, or I'm battling for a podium here and then like I'm getting a quarter here and the next day I win. Like, I want to be someone who's constantly every race. Like, if you see me on the gate, you're like, all right, he's going to be battling for a podium. He's going to be battling for the win every single time. To me, that's like a good rider, is someone who's able to show up to every race, every track, every weather condition, every, you know, everything like that, and still be able to perform at the top level. So I think for me, I want to be out. I want to finish the year off and have been super consistent. Obviously, I would love to. I want to get wins. I want to get podiums. I want to go to the Worlds and have another run at the getting the world title. I want to do all those things. But yeah, I think for me, I just want to be consistent and just be at that top level and just be like, finish every race and just know I did everything I could. Like finish all the races and just be happy with the effort I put in and not finish the lap and be like, man, like I wish I had have been a little bit more aggressive in this second turn. I wish I had have pushed this guy a little wider so I could have had a cleaner run down the second straight, like those things. I want to be, you know, I want to be happy with every race and feel like I put everything into it.
Not bad. Okay. I want to say thank you, Jesse Asmus, for talking to me, man. It's been a lot of fun. I'm being honest with you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You got it. It was good to get to know who you are. And if you don't mind, I'd like to stay in touch with you just throughout the season, drop you a note to see how you're doing and give you some encouragement.
Yeah, for sure. No, that'd be awesome. And I really, really appreciate you asking me to come on. When I saw the message, it was like a bit surreal. I was like, there's no way. I was like, you sent me the links to be like, oh, here's a bit of like a reference of what I've done. I'm like, I've already listened to so many of them already. Like, I know who you are. Like, I don't need to go listen to it anymore because I've listened to heaps already. So it was a really, really cool thing. So I really appreciate you asking me to come on.
You got it, man. That's a wrap.
Awesome.